Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Answering Persecution. This is episode one. It's going to be a series. It may only be two episodes. I can't tell yet. Sometimes I don't know. And anyway, today is the start of this new series, and this will be a series about different aspects of persecution. We don't like to think about persecution, but y'all, when the time when we could put off thinking about it is firmly behind us. We're in it. So we need to talk about it. Some of the things I want to talk about in this series are persecution rising in America, history of persecution, who will be persecuted, persecution in the Bible, ways people answer persecution, and how will you answer persecution, okay? These are very sobering times that we live in. We have all been watching the things happen the Lord has been warning us about through prophetic messages for many years. We all feel the uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen next, but we can clearly see where this is all headed, can't we? We live in one of the two most momentous times on the earth. The first one was when Jesus came, and this time will be when he returns for us. And by the way, thank you for your patience in waiting for me to get this podcast produced and up. I've been working on it for a week straight, and the enemy apparently does not like this message or this subject. He has thrown every obstacle in my path that he could possibly throw to keep it from getting done. So hopefully the whatever episodes come after this won't be as much of a fight, but we'll see. Whether you call it the rapture or the return of Jesus or what, I don't think that makes any difference. He has told us he will take those who have submitted to his refining home before others who still need to be refined. And the other refinement period is, of course, the Great Tribulation. Those maybe that he takes home maybe one at a time or all at once, I don't know. But I feel like, and this is only a feeling, God didn't tell me this, y'all, but I kind of feel like maybe it's going to be one at a time for a while, and then all of a sudden a whole bunch are going to go at once. But I don't know that for a fact. That's just a gut feeling thing. But I believe he will get people who walk very closely with him. I think a lot of people will be spared what is coming if they're praying to escape those things that are to come. And when I say what is coming, I mean the horrors, what I call the horrors, the worst of it. But we will see which way it goes. None of us knows all of these details. We can study his word and make an educated decision on what we think, you know, but we still don't know until it happens for sure. He has told us that this will be a time of persecution unlike any we have seen before. And y'all, that is saying a lot, especially if you look at things like persecution during the Dark Ages. A lot of people do not want to hear anything about what's coming or about the end times or any of that. That is their prerogative. Probably none of those people are listening to this podcast, though, because they're not going to be listening to JPH. Y'all know it's, you know, people who listen to JPH are people who are seeking truth, in my opinion, and they are not interested in anything being candy-coated or drawn out or anything like that. Y'all want it cut and dried. Here's the way it is. There are several groups among Christians, in my observation, when it comes to the truth of end times, and they range all the way from being in complete denial that any judgments ever could or should happen to Christians, and the other extreme, hardcore, here's what's going down, and we better all get ready and prep like the daylights for it. Okay. My viewpoint is the Bible tells us judgment is coming, and what it will look like, everything from earthquakes and pestilence to asteroids hitting the earth and the sun going out, okay? We know the Bible is the absolute truth, the inerrant word of God. So we can look at it and know that these things will at some point befall the people on the earth, okay? Or we can stick our head in the clouds and pretend that nothing bad could ever happen to us in spite of all the evidence at our doors that it not only can, but is. Or we can take an attitude with God that how dare he even think of judging us for anything. You get to choose your attitude every day. That attitude can help you or it can hurt you. And the people who believe nothing bad should ever befall them if they are Christians are going to have a very difficult, if not impossible, time keeping their faith till the end in what is coming, especially if they have a tendency to become angry at God when things don't go their way, because it's real easy for the devil to talk people who are angry at God into turning against him. He will say things like, oh, a loving God would never do that. He would never allow that to happen. And see, that's where it comes in, that you need to know God for yourself. Because you can rebuke the devil. When you know the Lord, you can say, take a long hike off a short pier, Satan. I know him better than that. Anyone who knows anything at all about what the Bible says knows we're in the end times. I think even the unbelievers are seeing it. Shelves in the grocery stores are emptying out. And I don't think it's because of people hoarding, y'all. Do you know how many people would have to be doing that and at what quantity for things to run out in the Walmart warehouses they're shipping out of? Have y'all noticed that Walmart's running out of some stuff too? I don't think it's hoarding. What I think it is the people that are off work for COVID-19, these things are not being manufactured. So when they go back to work, you know, they'll be back on the shelves again. But in the meantime, they're going to be out for a while. So the truth is, persecution has been rising for some time now. We all know that. We don't have to like it, but we do have to endure it if we want to go on to our reward on the other side. Okay? So let's talk a little bit about answering persecution. I just want to give y'all some things to think about this week. And I want to tell you, too, that it is human to feel afraid about these situations, okay? And it's human to just think, you know, am I going to be able to stand up to this? That's human. We all have flesh. And, you know, that makes us human. And that makes us be concerned, you know, of what suffering that we're going to go through or may face in the future. So even though it's human to feel afraid about situations like that or apprehensive, I think it's possible to overcome the fear with our faith and with a little bit of preparation by, you know, thinking about persecution and getting some understanding instead of just running away from the very thought. Because running away from the very thought, I don't think is going to help you when you have to face it, because you won't have prepared yourself for it. Why do you think Satan works so hard to steal your faith? He knows faith overcomes fear. He knows we are called to be overcomers, and he wants us to give any answer at that time except what will make our Savior proud of us. Okay, the definition of persecution is hostility or ill treatment, especially because of race or political or religious beliefs, persistent annoyance or harassment. Makes me think of Matthew 5:11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Every single time you are persecuted because you love Jesus, because you believe in Jesus, your reward in heaven increases. Okay, the Greek word translated persecute in that verse is dioko, and it means to make run or flee, to put to flight, to drive away, especially in a hostile manner or with the intent to do harm. So persecution is designed to make us run, to chase us off. Because we can clearly see persecution against Christians is increasing every week, we need to be as informed as we can about what persecution is, how it's been handled in the past, and we need to give some serious thought to how we will handle it in the future when it comes to our own doorsteps, okay? Okay, I want to read y'all something. This is from a book called Jesus Freaks Revolutionaries, and it's by a band called DC Talk. I think it was published back in like 2001 or 2002, something like that. I'm not sure. There's two books that are similar. In the United States in recent years, those who have called themselves fundamentalist believers in God have bombed abortion clinics, assassinated doctors who performed abortions, holed themselves up within compounds and shot it out with the FBI, or committed mass suicides thinking that their, quote, martyrdoms would change the way people think. In the Middle Ages, those who called themselves fundamentalist believers in God went on, quote, crusades to, quote, free Israel and led a wake of pillaging, looting, and rape in their wake. They felt themselves revolutionaries for the cause of God, but they were deluded. They died thinking they were heroes and martyrs. All true martyrs are revolutionaries, but not all revolutionaries are true martyrs. Those who rise up and kill themselves to kill others are not martyrs at all. They have lost sight of the truth and have been sucked into a lie. They have never experienced the true power of love, the kind of love God is. The love that cannot be defeated, though you beat it, you torture it, or you shoot it with guns or stab it with knives. True martyrdom is being a witness of the truth. Martyrs die because they refuse to deny the truth. They are unwilling to force their ways upon others, and they are unwilling to fight back when fighting back would deny the love they are trying to show to those hurting them. This is how martyrdom changes things. It stands up as a witness of the one who is truth and love. And the one who is truth and love can do little else but stand up and surround them with his presence. And his presence changes things. I'm going to read y'all a story in a minute from one of their, the other book that's similar to this one by DC Talk, because it illustrates that point so perfectly. But I want to tell you before I do that, because I'm going to close the show after that. If you get nothing else from this show, remember this one thing. True martyrdom is being a witness of the truth. It's refusing to deny the truth. Okay? There are actually people out there that believe that when the time comes, and we're headed for it right now, y'all see the stores trying to go cashless. We're headed for the Mark of the Beast coming out, Rise of the Antichrist and all that. There are people who believe they can take the mark and then repent. They literally believe that. Let me tell you something. When you take the mark, your soul is gone. That's it. You're done. You have to deny him to take the mark. And when you deny him, you lose your salvation. That's all in the scriptures if you just go and read it. So if any of you listening to this think that you can deny Christ and then repent, you need to understand something. He will not pour out repentance on you after you deny him. So you won't be able to feel repentance and you won't be able to repent. Okay? So understand that when you're deciding how you're going to respond to persecution. If you're going to respond by taking the mark, you're probably wasting your time listening to this show. I'm just going to tell you that. Okay, now, let me read you this story. It's called A Friend's Last Look, from Jesus Freaks Revolutionaries, Stories of Revolutionaries Who Changed Their World, Fearing God, Not Man. Kim had come home, unable to speak. His mother could tell he was in shock and sat with him, soothing him and trying to find out what had happened. Finally, he began to open up to her. Now, this is a story from 2001 that happened in North Korea. And this guy's name is Kim. And he said, I was with one of my best friends today when two police officers approached us. They grabbed my friend and accused him of being a Christian. One of the officers knocked him to the ground while the other took out his gun. My friend did not get angry or curse anyone. He didn't even try to defend himself. Even as the gun was pointed directly at him, his face remained peaceful. He looked straight into my eyes, and without speaking a word, I knew exactly what he was saying. He wanted me to believe the same thing he did. And then he just said, bless them. He was executed right in front of me because he was a Christian. I do not even know what a Christian is. I don't understand any of this. Kim's mother held his head in her hands. There were tears in her eyes. Now it was she who was in shock. She then told him simply, I understand. How could you possibly understand why they would kill my friend? She slowly began to tell her son about her Lord Jesus Christ, how he had miraculously been born of a virgin and crucified on a cross to save all those who would believe in him. As she continued sharing with her eldest son, she began to sob. Now it was she who couldn't go on. She felt the pain of never daring to tell her son about Jesus Christ, lest his fate would be like that of his friend. She also felt the overwhelming joy of knowing that God had not forgotten her son, but allowed someone else to bring him the gospel. Finally, she told him, "God allowed you to witness the martyrdom of one of his brave children. As those bullets hit his heart, a seed of hope was planted in yours." The son prayed that night and received Jesus Christ into his heart. He was filled with joy as he embraced his mother and thanked her for telling him the truth. But suddenly he began to weep again and appeared distraught. Confused, the mother asked, "Now what's wrong?" "My brothers," Kim cried, "they do not know Jesus. We must tell them." His three brothers soon came home and discovered their older brother and mother crying together. Their first thought was that something terrible had happened to their father, and they quickly knelt down beside their mother, asking what was wrong. With unnatural boldness, the eldest son stood up and responded, "You should also receive Jesus Christ." Before the evening had passed, all three had done exactly that. The mother was filled with joy. Although she had never dared to speak to her children about her Christian faith, she had diligently prayed for them every day. Now that her children had accepted Jesus, she began cautiously looking for a Bible so they could learn more of God's word, but she could not find any. Eventually, her oldest son secretly crossed the Yalu River into China in search of Bibles. You can imagine the look on his face when he finally came across a miniature Bible in the Korean language. He pleaded with the Christians in China, asking how he could obtain some of these Bibles. Regrettably, no more were available. Refusing to admit defeat, he told the Christians the dramatic story of how he had witnessed his friend's death and how he and his brothers had learned of Jesus. Before departing for North Korea, he said, "I am in need of 5,000 of these Bibles to share with my family and others in North Korea. I will be back in 1 month to pick them up." Hearing of the request, some Christian workers hurriedly printed 5,000 copies of the miniature Korean Bibles. Over the next year or so, Kim returned on several occasions to smuggle the Bibles back across the border. All four of these brothers are now actively sharing their faith, knowing firsthand the consequences if they are discovered. Since their last pickup of these Bibles some months ago, no one has heard further news of them. You can find a copy of the Jesus Freaks book out on the Wings of Prophecy site or justpraisehim.today. There's a copy in the print store and there's a copy in the Kindle store if you're looking for it. You know, y'all, we're so fortunate right now in America, we can still buy and read Bibles freely and openly. That is going to change at some point. The Lord told me back in 1999 or 2000, that the Bible will be outlawed in America. So enjoy your Bible while you have it, because the time is coming when you won't. In upcoming episode or episodes in the rest of this series, I'm going to share more stories with you of people who were martyred. And I want to show you the different ways that people respond to persecution. And so we're going to illustrate with that so we can talk about it. If you have any questions or ideas or anything like that, anything you want me to talk about, send me an email to wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Sorry my voice is so bad, y'all. I've had a sore throat the entire day, and I've just been fighting it so I could get this done. But I hope y'all have a really great week. Y'all stay safe and well out there. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.
If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print and new audiobook. The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings? Why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?